just thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word and your power. God, we just ask you, God, to reveal your truth to us tonight. God, let us walk in an understanding of the love that you have for us, of the promises that you have given to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I feel very impressed to do something, and I have never done this before in front of people, but I feel like I need to. And I don't know you, but I feel like the Lord just wants you to know that he is offering his love to you. And maybe you already know that, but if you already know his love, he is going to reveal it to you in a new way. So just know that. And I don't normally call people out, and I don't, but I'm learning that I have to be obedient to what God is telling me to do. And so Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, I just want you to understand something before we sit down. The word "stayed" means to prop, to lean upon, or to take hold, to bear up, to establish, to lie hard, to rest self, to stand fast, to sustain. So you can be seated. But understand, whose mind is propped, is rested, is sustained on the Lord. But notice the last, because he trusts in you. So we're going to look at these first three verses, and then we're going to go back. But there are three verses that the Lord kind of connected. And the first one is this one: "You will keep him who's perfect in perfect peace." Now, this is talking about God. God will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So if our mind is stayed on him, we can walk in peace no matter what we go through. No matter what situation we face, no matter how hard life gets, we can walk in peace. But often we don't, even as Christians. Even, you know, I struggle with this still. I am learning every day how to do this more. And so even when you, if you've known the Lord a long time, many of the promises that are in the Word of God, if we do not understand how to walk them out, then they stay as a promise in the Bible as opposed to a fulfillment in our lives. When we begin to practice the things that God has revealed to us is when we begin to walk in the promises that God has given to us. And then we begin to see results in our lives. And so this says, "You, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Proverbs 3:5, another familiar verse. But notice it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean." This word means to support oneself, to lean, to lie, to rest, to stay. Do not support yourself on your own understanding. Now, this is often a problem, is that we get peace from God, we understand what God is saying to us, and then we start trying to figure it out. If you start trying to figure out what God is saying to you, often you will lose your peace. Because God's promises do not always make sense to our natural mind. And so God says, you know, "I'm going to lead you. I'm going to handle you. I'm going to provide for you." And we start looking at finances, and we start looking at the situation, and we start trying to figure out how God is going to do it. And out goes our peace, because we have replaced our understanding with his understanding. And our understanding will not bring us peace. His understanding will bring us peace. So it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," and it is very clear what not to do. Do not support yourself on your own understanding. Now, this is difficult because typically what happens is we know that the Bible says that in order to, Jesus said that we must come as children. If you put up the first PowerPoint, that we must come as little children. Oh yeah, I read that already. I forgot about that one. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now, I love this picture. When I saw it, it's such a perfect picture because the Bible says that we must come as little children. The problem is we forget that when our problems come, and we remember instead that we are adults, and that as adults, we are trained to take care of our own problems and handle it in our own way. And so we revert from a childlike faith into an adult-like understanding, and we start trying to figure things out. And then as we try to resolve our own problems, our peace leaves and we end up in a mess again. And I know this because I have experienced it. And so I read in Battlefield of the Mind, which is a very good book by Joyce Meyer, that often you cannot reason out your problems. Trust and reason often will not go together. You have to leave reason in order to trust sometimes. And so the reason that we have to do this is because we have to come like a little child. So we cannot support ourselves. We cannot lean on our own understanding. Now, one of my dad's favorite verses, Hebrews 11:1. And my dad quoted this all the time. And the awesome thing is, if you knew my dad well, he was not an optimist by nature. He had optimistic moments and he was a visionary. So he was very optimistic when it came to building things and stepping out in faith. But by nature, it did not come easily for him. But this was a verse, I knew it by heart from I don't know how old, because I heard it quoted in church over and over and over and over. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My dad went through a lot of hard things in his life. In fact, looking over, I am so grateful for the man of God that he was. And I know that it was only by God's grace that him and my mom served God the way that they did. Because through the things that they went through. But you know what? This was his verse that he lived by. Faith is the substance. That word substance means a support, an assurance, a confidence, substance of things hoped for. So faith is the support for the things that we hope for. Because sometimes things that we hope for can seem so far away. They can seem, you know, when God gives us a promise and we don't see, you know, the end of it, and we don't see how God's going to do it, and we can't figure it out in our human reasoning, it seems so far away. So what keeps us connected to the thing that we're hoping for? Faith. Now, faith is not just this word that's just kind of out in the air. We have faith in the God that created the universe. Our faith is grounded because of who it's in. So when we face problems, we remember faith is what connects me to what I'm hoping for. Faith is what supports what I'm hoping for. Faith in the God that created me, that created the world and the trees, that drew the sunsets, that set the sea its limits. I read in a missionary book that I've been reading with the kids, and this lady, they had were living in this house on the beach. They had lived in Tibet and China as missionaries, but they were at this time in Hawaii. And they lived in this awesome house, and she was so excited. It was a beautiful house. The kids could play on the beach every day. And they lived in this house, and the kids loved it, and they would go around and minister to the island people. All of a sudden, one day, her husband said, "We're moving." And she said, "Why?" And he said, "Because God said so." And she immediately, she's very honest in the book. And she said, "I thought, oh, every time we get settled, every time that things are going well and everybody's happy, he has to get itching feet and we have to move somewhere." And so she said, "Well, where are we moving to?" And he said, "Oh, you know, a good place over here." And she said, her heart sank, because she knew the place that he was talking about. And it was not a nice place. It was across town. So they moved into a house that was built on stilts. The house had termites to the degree that they could not lean up against the walls. They had 9 children at this time. They could not lean up against the walls because the termites had damaged the house to such a degree. The kitchen was open, completely open, with just lattice as opposed to a wall. And so there were mosquitoes, and they slept at night on sleeping bags with mosquito nets tucked in around the sleeping bags. And she said, after a certain amount of time, she said, "I really was just having a hard time getting my attitude straight. And I thought, Lord, why would you tell us to move out of our nice house into this place?" She just could not understand. And she was struggling with understanding and trusting God. And she said later, I guess that night, one of the nights soon after that, they were laying in bed. They heard this awful loud noise, sounded like a jet engine. Didn't know what it was. But they decided not to investigate in the middle of the night. So they got up the next day. They went back to the place where their house had been on the beach. The whole house was completely gone. There was a grandmother and a little child sitting on the beach and just in shock, just staring at the waves. A tidal wave in the middle of the night had come from a volcano that had erupted underneath an earthquake that had happened. And actually, there's still a memorial in Hawaii at this place where this happened. A tidal wave came in a fell swoop, picked up the whole house and took it out to sea. Literally nothing left of the house. She said, I realized as her heart just kind of jumped, had we been in that house, she said, there was no way that we would have been able to wake up and carry all of our children out before the next wave came. And she knew that God had a plan. You know, so often we look at the situation and we go, God, you know, what are you doing? Why are you making things so hard on me? Because sometimes it feels like it would be so, life could be so much easier. Why does it have to be so hard? We have to understand everything that we go through can either make us bitter or make us better. Everything. And my dad used to say, we are training for reigning. This life is not the end. I used to think that when we die, we go to heaven and everything just kind of starts over. You know, I mean, yeah, we get a new body and all of that. But there are multiple scriptures that talk about if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. God will use every situation to prepare us. Paul said, but our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. In other words, the things that we go through down here, as we allow them to cause us to learn for our faith to get more steadfast and our eyes to get more fixed on Jesus. It has always amazed me the story of the disciples in the boat, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and God used this to teach me one day, because Jesus was asleep in the boat and Peter goes to wake him up and he says, Lord, don't you care that we were perishing? And Jesus, rather than going, oh, why didn't you wake me up sooner? Obviously, you're about to die. I mean, because Peter was a fisherman. So he obviously, this was not just a little wave like, you know, Peter was used to being on the water. He was a fisherman by trade. He was used to being out deep in the water. So this was not a new thing for him. So if he thought they were going to die, the storm was obviously very bad. And yet Jesus, rather than looking at him going, I'm so sorry, I don't know why I was sleeping, he said, why did you doubt? Where is your faith? And God said to me, you know, so often we are looking at God in the midst of the storm and God is looking back at us going, where is your faith? Don't you know that I said that I would never leave you or forsake you? Don't you know that I said that I would be with you? And I told you, the Lord, one time that I was going through something and I was just really struggling. And the Lord brought a verse to my mind. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Oh, okay. Thank you, God. You know, I mean, I would have liked a whole lot better if God, you know, gave me some verse of comfort, you know, some, I know how hard this is for you. And, you know, you're going through so much, and pat me on the back and make me feel better. No, he said, you know, quit it. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. We have got to learn to walk in the strength that he is giving us and learn to walk out the promises that he has offered us. Our mind needs to be propped, leaning on Jesus. We cannot lean. We cannot support ourselves on our own understanding. Faith is what supports the things hoped for. So God gives us a promise. Faith supports it, is the evidence of it. And until we see it come to pass. And that's how it works. So if we are going to live in peace, we need to get a few things straight. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And this is kind of what we were talking about earlier. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, we having been justified. The justified word means to render, to show or regard as just or innocent, to be righteous by faith. So having been made righteous, made innocent by faith, we have peace with God. I believe many times the reasons that Christians do not have peace with God is because they do not understand that they are righteous, that they are made innocent by what Jesus did on the cross. We are still trying to walk out our own justification. We're still trying to make ourselves good enough in order to receive his blessings, his favor, for him to be able to use us. Now, I do believe very strong that when we surrender our lives to Christ, that our lives should reflect that. But I believe often the reason that it doesn't is because if we are so aware of our own sin all the time, we cannot see his grace. Listen, when sin faces you, when you come into church, when you're in your devotions, there is one thing to do with it. Bring it to the cross. Confess it. Don't make excuses for it. Don't blame somebody else for it. Just confess it. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then when our sin is revealed to us, when we are convicted, which is very important, it is a very important part of growth. In fact, Psalm 19, I just want to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 19. In my notes, find it. Okay, Psalm 19, it says, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous, that word means arrogant, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, this is very important. It is a good thing for us to say to God, God, search my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me. Because we can justify ourselves for our sin. We cannot see. It has never ceased to amaze me in myself how we can see sins in other people that are clearly evident in our own lives and cover them right up in ourselves. And it is very dangerous. And so the only way that we can be honest with ourselves is if we allow the Holy Spirit to show us. If we say to God, God, search me and see if there is any wicked way in me. And sometimes the Lord will bring. You need to repent. You need to apologize. You need to go to that person. And the Lord has done that with me, with my husband, with my children, with other people. And it's important in that time that we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, because otherwise our sin will separate us from God. It will keep us from right relationship with God. And then pride will step in and we will not be able to be in right relationship with him. And then there are all manner of unnecessary, terrible things come along with that. So we need to keep short accounts with God. And when God convicts us, we need to be obedient quickly. But do not make the mistake that I have made before, because I want so much to get it right. And so I used to, and I'm learning not to do this, but I would spend days but there might be something that I can't see in myself, you know, and I would just spend oh God, please, I'm sure that there's something in me that I just can't see. Listen, you don't have to do that. God can reveal it to you if there is sin in your life. You don't have to spend days asking him to reveal it, because if you ask him to search your heart, he will. And then you repent. And let me tell you something. If he doesn't bring anything to your mind, then go on your way serving the Lord, knowing that Jesus has made you righteous, and walk in peace with God, like Romans 5:1 says. Because otherwise, the enemy will get you so bowed down and so focused on self that you cannot see God. And I have been there where I was so much, God, I just want to get everything right before you, and I just want to serve you, and I know there just might be things in me that I can't see. Listen, if there are, they're not hidden to God. He can see them. I mean, you're not hiding them from him. So if you're asking him to reveal them, he will. So expect that if you're in a service, that when you read your Bible, that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and understand that the Holy Spirit has ways of getting through to us. So when that happens, do not cover it up. Do not make excuses for it. Do not get angry. Do not blame other people. Just repent of it. But if nothing comes, then do not spend your day wallowing in self. Because you will waste a whole lot of time, and the enemy will have a heyday trying to remind you of how unworthy you are. Guess what? We were all unworthy. I was not worthy because I was a pastor's daughter any more than anybody else. Because guess what? I was born into sin. I grew up in selfishness. I had, you know, my own agenda and my own attitude, and I had pride, and I had all of these things. I had to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus just like anybody else. And so, but when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus, and as I continually confess my sins to him, he cleanses me and makes me completely righteous so that I can walk in innocence before God, so that I can walk in peace with God because of that innocence. So it's very important that we believe the scriptures that we read and that we understand that we have been justified, that we have been made innocent by faith so that we can have peace with God. Because if you walk focused on your own sin, and let me tell you, even if you repent of it, the enemy will bring it back to you. As long as you will let him, weeks, months, years down the road, he will torment you with a sin that you have already repented of. So what do? You go, I have repented of that. God has forgiven me. I am moving on. There is no reason for us to live and wallow in sin that we have repented of. It doesn't do us or God any good. We walk in grace. We walk in the blood that Jesus paid. If we walk continuing in sin that we have already repented for, then we say that the blood of Jesus was not enough to cover it. The blood of Jesus is enough to cover any sin. So understand, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. He will accuse us as long as we will let him, but we don't have to let him. That's the beauty of learning what the word says about us, is we go, oh no, I am made justified. I have been justified. I am innocent before God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And guess what? Then we have a reason to worship, because then we realize how much we needed it and how much he offered. And so Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, we can expect that God will reward us if we are seeking him. This scripture says we can expect that he will reward us. One of the things that the enemy will tell us is, look, you've been seeking God all this. Look, nothing's happening. Nothing's changed. You haven't seen any change in your situation. And that's when you just look at the enemy, or you just in your mind, because most of the battlefield is in our mind, you say, you are a liar. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God is going to reward me because he said he would. Anytime that we believe what God says, it pleases him. The same as if I say something to my child and I say, I'm going to do this. And they go, oh, great. Thanks, Mom. If they came back to me every day and said, Mom, you said that you were going to do that. Are you still going to do that? Yes, son. I said I would. Mom, you said that you were going to do this. Are you still going to do it? Yes, son. I said that I would. If he keeps coming to me every day and says, Mom, I don't believe that you're going to do that for me. You know, I know Mom said she was going to take us. And we even say this to other people. We speak doubt to other people. Well, I know that Mom said that she was going to, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think that we're going to be able to do. Man, faith is what pleases God. We need to speak faith. Romans 5:2, finishing up that Romans, says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And grace is what we stand in. We don't stand in our own righteousness. We stand in grace. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So living in peace comes, number one, from living in right relationship with God. Remembering we're made innocent by Jesus' death on the cross. That we're cleansed by confessing our sin and repenting as God reveals it to us. Then we walk in peace with God. Number two, we meditate on his presence and on his promises more than on the circumstances. Philippians 4, I have quoted this so many times, but it has been my life verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God See, there's that peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So we can have peace that we don't even understand. We might not be able to explain it. We might not be able to understand it, but we can have peace. But this says, be anxious for nothing. That word means to be anxious about, to be have careful, to take thought. Have you ever noticed we tend to think about the things that we're anxious about? If we become anxious about something, we begin to spend more and more and more time thinking about it. Now, that's our problem. We try to look at it from all these different angles. We try to solve it from all these different angles. What we need to do is keep our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus, on his presence. Going back to Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, not whose mind is focused on the problem, whose mind is focused on him, looking at him. Sometimes we might have to move the situation out of our eyesight and look at Jesus. Move the circumstances out of the way and focus our attention on Jesus. We have to choose over and over to remember that we gave the situation to him. Now listen, if it's bothering you over and over, I've had this, it is a good thing to lay out a prayer of exactly what your requests are with thanksgiving. You know, I mean, that's what this verse says, is don't be anxious. Don't continue to take thought over it, but with thanksgiving, present your request unto the Lord. So that's okay. You know, whenever sometimes I just need to write it out, I need to write it out so that I can see it and know that I have covered everything that I need to cover. And then after that, you leave it with God. And whenever it comes back, you remind yourself, I am looking at Jesus because I have already presented that to him and he is wiser than me and he knows better than me. And so we don't have to entertain every thought that comes into our head. This is important. It is pride to think that we do. It is pride to think that every thought that we have is so important that it needs our attention. Listen, some of the thoughts that come into our head, we need to throw them out immediately. Sometimes when you're fasting, I've had this happen to me. When you're fasting and all of a sudden this thought comes to have something, you know, that you're not supposed to have, you need to throw that right out. As soon as it comes, you just need to tell it to go. Because the enemy, when Jesus was fasting, he said, turn these stones into bread. He knew that Jesus was hungry. So he tempted him with physical food. And so it's important. We need to throw those thoughts right out of our head. Understand the enemy can put thoughts in our head, but we do not have to dwell on them. My mom has always said, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. So thoughts are going to come into your mind, but you do not have to let them stay there. When they come and you recognize, and this is the beautiful thing, the more that you do this, the quicker you will recognize them. Because in the beginning, it might take you a while and you'll have already thought this through from like 12 different angles and spent like 30 minutes on it. And then you realize, oh, I'm not even supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be focusing on God. So then you ask Jesus, Lord, help me to keep you in my thoughts throughout the day. And what you will begin to notice that happens is as you become anxious and you stop trying to figure things out and you start presenting your problems to the Lord, just like a child, is you will notice quicker, oh, it's only been 10 minutes. And now you recognize, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to spend all day worrying about this situation that I have already prayed about. I am going to trust God and I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Jesus and he is going to keep me in perfect peace. And this is how we walk in peace through the situations. So most of the problems or some of the problems we face come from listening to the enemy's ideas and thoughts in our heads. Because Ephesians 6:12, when we put on the armor, says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The enemy disguises the battle and he causes it for us to think that it's not between us and him. Because if we recognize that it's between us and him, we recognize who we're fighting and we know better how to fight. So he disguises it. He disguised himself as a serpent and made it like he was trying to help Eve out. That God was the one that was keeping her from something that was good for her. That's what the enemy does with us. But as we begin to look at Jesus more, we recognize the counterfeit quicker. As I've said lots of times, people that recognize counterfeit bills, they do not study the counterfeits. They study the real bills so much and so strong and so hard that they can notice a counterfeit in an instant. As we look at Jesus, as we ask God, Jesus, let me think of you. Let me meditate on you throughout the day. Let me open up more and more of my life to you. And as we do that, we notice a counterfeit when it comes. And as we read more of the word, we recognize a thought that is not godly because we are so full of what he says that when the enemy tries to tell us, we recognize error when it comes. So I want to end with this verse, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is important. Verse 5, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, whether that comes from people and it's high and lofty, prideful ideas, or whether it comes from self, or whether it comes from the enemy. The enemy has always been about exalting himself above God. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. And so, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why we look past the situation, past our own understanding, past taking thought for ourselves, past supporting ourselves, and we look at Jesus and we focus our attention on him. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so as we do that, we will be able to stay in perfect peace. Because Isaiah 26:3 again says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose eyes are, or whose mind is stayed on you. So ask God to help you focus on him more throughout the day. I would encourage you, ask God to bring scriptures to your mind. Spend time reading the word and then ask God to bring that word to your mind throughout the day. Listen, spiritual things and God's word is not just for spiritual moments. We are to be spiritual people where we allow God's word to speak to us. It is the wisest instruction and advice in every situation. So if we ask God to bring it to our mind, God, show me in each situation, whether I'm at home or at work, whether I'm at the grocery store or with my friends, God, let me meditate on you. Bring things to my mind. Remind me of your concepts and ask God to help us to see people and situations and circumstances through his eyes. And as we do that, we will learn how to walk in his peace. Because, you know, that is a promise that God has given us, that the enemy is stealing from the people of God. And he does not have a right to steal that from us because Jesus paid for it. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We get to have peace because of what he did. So we need to get mad at the enemy when he tries to steal it from us. And we need to fight for what is ours. And we need to determine to walk in what the scripture says, how we can walk and live by what the word says that we can live by. So let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your precious word that teaches and trains us, God. We thank you just for opportunities just to minister your word and to remember who you are. God, I pray for every person here. Lord, I pray that this word would go with us throughout the week. Lord, I pray that when circumstances arise, that when things that we don't understand, God, that when circumstances that we face that are beyond our control, God, that as we look at you, Lord Jesus, that we would find our peace in who you are, in your presence, and in your promises, and that the enemy would not be able to keep us from walking in the promises that you have given us. Remind us that we are made innocent by your blood, Lord Jesus, so that we can walk in right relationship with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So walk in his grace. Do not walk condemned. Amen.